Hello, friends. Thank you so, so much for joining me again this week on the SOS Podcast. I'm your host, Carl. I really hope you're all doing well. I can tell you I am doing amazing regardless of my circumstances. That's an important qualifier, but let me tell you what. It does not matter what my week looked like. It does not matter what nonsense exists in my life right now. I'm doing amazing. You want to know why? Because God's given me a couple more days with breath to speak his word, to do his will, to sow into his kingdom, right? So as long as we're alive, as long as we're here, as long as we're doing the will of God, things are great. So I challenge you. I challenge you today, tomorrow, and the days to come to look past the circumstances and just look at the goodness of God in your life every moment, even if it's just your breath. If that's the only thing you can count as good, thank God for that and move forward. Press in and just seek what he desires in your life, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wild ride. Now, that's not the message this week. This week, I want to talk about the word of God and the power behind it. I was praying with some brothers last night, and one of them asked God to give power to our words. And I mean, that's not some kind of odd, abnormal prayer. It's a great prayer. It's an awesome prayer because we're constantly talking to people about our Savior. We're constantly sharing the word of God with others as Christians. That's, it's what we should be doing. We're constantly trying to encourage people in their struggles. But something went off in my head when he said that, because I was thinking to myself, you know what? There are times when we speak the word of God without power. That's possible. Did you know there's a right way to speak the word of God and there's a wrong way to speak the word of God? Has anyone ever used scripture in a nasty way to condemn you instead of to convict you? Maybe it's under the guise of bringing you conviction, but what they're really doing is judging you and trying to bring you down and make you feel less than you are. Have you ever done that to someone else? I mean, I can tell you I've heard it from people. And we can't really hide behind the mask of, well, God's word never returns void, so there's something at work there. Well, maybe that does bring conviction, but what's our job? What are we free to do? We're not free to misuse the word of God. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. What our responsibility is to use the word of God to increase his kingdom, to use the word of God to accomplish his will, to do good works, right? To bring people to restoration, to bring people to salvation, to bring the church together, to get rid of division, not to cause it. There is an example in the Bible, a very clear, it's like the classic example of someone using the word of God, like actual scriptures, in the most diabolical, deceitful, nasty way. It's when Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness before being tempted. It's interesting when you read that passage. He spent 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. And one of the translations, at least one of them, says, comma, and he was hungry, period. Then the devil tempted him. And what did the devil tempt him with? Well, he tempted him with food, with power, with riches. How did he tempt him? The devil, super smart but super dumb, took the word of God completely out of context, not once, not twice, but three times, to try to get the Son of God, God himself, God incarnate, to fall. He tried to deceive him with his own word. There are false prophets, false teachers, what I call false saviors, antichrists out there, those who carry the spirit of antichrist, who are going to take the word of God and twist it and turn it and try to lead people anywhere but into God's kingdom. That's going to happen. Matthew 24 tells us it is a sign of the times. Don't be afraid. These are birth pains. Much more will come. Do not fear, but be prepared, lest we would be deceived. Jesus knows that this is something people do. The devil shows us that this is something that is done against God himself. So the question is, do we ever misuse the word of God? Do we ever speak it in a wasteful way, without power? Do we ever speak it to cause harm instead of to cause good? What kind of deplorable conduct is that? This is a super important issue for us. This is super critical. We really need to make sure that we are being good stewards of the Word of God. The same way we're good stewards of our finances, of our relationships, of the time that He gives us. I mean, it's so terrible when someone who loves the Lord decides to take His words, which are meant to build and restore, to take those words and try to tear someone down, to take those words and try to make someone feel small. You know, when God talks to us, I don't know if any of you have ever heard an audible voice, a word from God, or someone maybe has spoken a word of knowledge or a prophetic word over you through the Spirit, and you hear a message from God, a clear message from God. I'm convicted a ton of times, but I'm never condemned. Every time I've received a word from the Lord, it has lifted me to another level. It has taken me from, you know, whatever dark, low place I was occupying, whatever shady space my mind was in, and it's taken me somewhere else. Sometimes it's a challenge, sometimes it's a question, sometimes it makes me search and search for an answer. Whatever it is, I know that every time God's good word comes my way, it motivates me and moves me further along in my spiritual growth and in the kingdom. That's how we know that we are using God's word in power. When we speak scripture, when we speak what we feel the Spirit has put on our hearts, when we say those words, how are people being affected? Even more than that, how do we want people to be affected? I mean, our desire should be to help build people, to love them, to guide them along in that sanctification process, to bring them closer to us, to the church as a whole, to God, to Jesus, to the Spirit. I mean, that should be our goal. So the challenge this week really is to reassess our speech, reassess how we utilize the Word of God. Keep ourselves accountable, or maybe even get someone to keep you accountable, that we're using these powerful words, that we're using messages we receive from the Lord to build people, not to tear them down, to lead them closer to God, not to deceive them in any way, perhaps to bring conviction, but never condemnation. And then we also need to be vigilant with our ears open, with the Holy Spirit's discernment working in us, and we also need to be in the Word ourselves, that we would not be deceived by someone who's using the Word of God in an improper way. You know, that example of the devil trying to get Jesus to fall, I think it's kind of funny because, you know, it says, again, it says 40 days, 40 nights, he fasted, no food, no water, and he was hungry. So what Satan sees is he sees someone who is in a state of physical weakness. And now the devil has to understand that the battle we're in is not physical, it's spiritual. It is a spiritual battle. Yet what he does is he sees that Jesus, the Son of God, is just so physically weak. I mean, I don't know what his posture was like. I don't know what his breathing was like. I don't know physically what he looked like. But he was weak. He was weak and hungry. He was tired. But what else was he? What was he doing for those 40 days and 40 nights when he wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, he wasn't talking to people, he was by himself? What was he doing? Praying? Praising God? Being in communion with the Father? He spent 40 days preparing spiritually, and the devil is so dumb that he couldn't realize this guy's physically weak, but spiritually, that's a whole other ball game. Spiritually, he was so connected to the Father that when the devil came out with his little twisted logic, to explain this verse and explain that verse, and that's what it means. Go ahead, throw yourself down. The angels will save you. The Son of God, even in that physically weak state, was spiritually astute and strong enough to combat him with the truth, with the real truth, not some counterfeit version of the truth, but the real truth. The devil and Jesus exchanged God's word, but only one of them had power when he spoke. We need to recognize that, and we need to understand that our words spoken in the name of God, our words spoken that are scripture, actual words of God himself that Jesus spoke, or words inspired by God that men spoke or wrote, we need to be good stewards of that. We need to take our responsibility seriously and assess and make sure that when we speak those words, it's for the purpose of building the kingdom, for the purpose of restoring souls, not for the purpose of dividing people or bringing them down. This week's song inspiration is a song called "Word of God Speak" by Mercy Me. If you listen to that song, the lyric talks about the power, the effect, what it means for God's word to speak. How does that influence us? How does that change our lives? What impact does it have on us? If you listen to that song and you think about all of those things we expect the word of God to produce in our lives, all of the good fruit from his word coming from him, that's the same fruit we should expect when we speak God's word. When we tell someone, look, the Lord has impressed upon me X, Y, and Z, there should be power in that. Power to build, power to lift, power to love, power to restore, power to break the bonds, to break the chains of sin and death. That's the power that we need to bring. The same power that God brings when he speaks his word over us. That's what he makes available to us. The question is whether we're being good stewards of that. And I think with a little accountability and some more time in the word, we can make sure that when we wield the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that's in our armor. That's the only offensive weapon we have. When we wield that, we need to make sure we're not swinging willy-nilly and taking down people we don't need to be taken down. You swing that sword so sharp, man, so sharp, that sword of the Spirit, you need to make sure you know what you're doing. So let us become refined in our practice. Let us get in the Word. Let us worship. Let us praise. Let us keep ourselves and each other accountable, that we would consciously look for that good fruit when we speak the word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you let us be your hands, your feet, and your mouthpiece. We thank you, Lord, that you give us your word to breathe life into us, and you trust us, God, to use those words to breathe life into others. Father, we ask, God, that you make us very conscious of how we use your words, how we speak them over people, and Lord, that we would always desire that good fruit, that we would want those words to convict, to build, to love, to restore, to unite, and do all of the things that it does when you speak those words, Father. Through us, God, bring the power of your holy word. We love you, Lord, and we can't wait to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day, and God bless.
Soul, soul, out, out, soul.